this morning, and again, I just so much appreciate the time we spend in singing praises and looking at God's Word. What a blessing it is. Things that we just don't normally think of throughout the week. God never failing us. 10,000 reasons to praise His name. I don't know about you, but sometimes our week, during the week, we just don't think that way. And now we're together thinking that way, and it's a wonderful blessing and encouragement from the Lord. Let's begin our time together with a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful this morning, Lord, for your great care for each of us. How we thank you, Lord, and Lord, we know there are more than 10,000 reasons to praise your name throughout our lifetime. We thank, Lord, of the many blessings that you have given to us. Even the very fact that we are here and have the opportunity to spend time thinking about you, thinking about all that you have done, thinking about your work in our life. Oh, Father, we are so thankful. We ask this morning, Lord, as we continue to look to your word, that we would be attentive and that our hearts would be sensitive. But most of all, Father, we ask that you be glorified by our very presence here, worshiping and glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you noticed in your bulletin, I said that we were going to begin a new series in the bulletin on the Lord's Prayer. And that's true. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer, but it's going to take a couple of weeks to get there. What I'd like to do is first talk about prayer in general. I remember years ago when my children were very young, and I came home one day from work, and I was sitting in a chair, and my oldest son came up, and he was about 4 or 5 at the time, and he sits in my lap, and we were talking about the great issues of life. How many cookies are left in the cookie jar? How many can we divide among ourselves? How can we keep it from your mother? Important stuff. And he noticed, while we were sitting there talking, he noticed a cut on my hand. I had gotten it at work, and he said, "Dad, what happened to your hand?" I said, "Oh, I cut it at work." And all of a sudden, he just gets a straight face and says, But I prayed that you wouldn't get hurt at work, that you'd be safe." And I was thrilled to death of his faith in terms of, I prayed for God. I prayed to God, and it was like, what happened? But also, I recognized his lack of understanding when it comes to prayer. Because so often, even as believers, we fall into a pattern of prayer that sometimes becomes thoughtless, that sometimes we don't understand the reasons why we're praying. Sometimes it's just a matter of the motion. For example, just to show you how easy it is to fall into this pattern, how many of you could mention two things that John prayed for this morning during the congregational prayer? Just giving you a minute. You understand what I'm saying here. And I'm the same way. It's tough, even when we're supposed to pray together and focus, but we fall into this pattern. And so before we begin to look at the Lord's Prayer, I thought that we would look at a few things concerning prayer. Oftentimes, many experience prayers that are unanswered. And I say unanswered because that's the way the Lord wants to answer them, but that's not the way we want them answered. Still others believe that when we pray, if we pray hard enough and long enough, God is required to answer our prayers. It's almost like, "Lord, I've done this now. You need to answer this prayer. Lord, I have been praying for this person for 10 years, and still they don't know the Lord," or still whatever it might be. And it's as though, "Lord, I've been doing something, so you need to do something for me." Now, we wouldn't come out and say that, but honestly, in our hearts, we think that way sometimes. We think, if I pray long enough and I pray hard enough, God will give me what I want. And you hear this all the time from televangelists. Still others believe that if you pray, well, as I said, pray long enough, but many other people believe something like this. Well, and this is the other extreme. "Lord, I asked one time, and not only that, but why should I bother praying? Because the Lord's will is going to be done whatever, and so my prayers have no value." And so tonight, this morning, I want to take a look a little bit about our prayer practices in order to help us understand some fundamental things about prayer, something that we might recognize or that we might change in our own prayer time. And then next week, we'll probably talk a little bit more about prayer, and then perhaps we'll get to the Lord's Prayer. We are going to get to the Lord's Prayer because I want to study that. But so often there's this misconceptions about prayer that we fall into and patterns we fall into that are not biblical. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the priority of prayer. I want to talk to you about the purpose of prayer. And I want to talk to you about the practice of prayer. Just three kind of basic ways to look at it. And the first one is this, the priority of prayer. There are at least three reasons why it should be a priority in our life. But let me begin with this, thinking for a moment how much of a priority it's supposed to be. If you went through the Gospels and you began to note every time that Jesus prayed, not just in John 17 where you have the longest recorded prayer of Jesus, but you go through the Gospel of Luke, you go through the Gospel of Mark, you go through the Gospel of John, you go through the Gospel of Matthew, you go through all these Gospels and you're constantly finding Jesus praying. Now, we know he's not before the Lord confessing his sins, but he's praying to God. He prays when his soul is troubled. He prays before he chooses the 12 disciples. He prays all the time, all different situations, all these things. The Lord Jesus Christ prays, and if he has to pray that much, and it's such a priority in his life, how much more so for us? You understand? That's the thing. How much more so is it for us to have it a priority? And so the first reason, or it should be a priority, is that it's expected. So I said, throughout the New Testament, we find this in a number of verses. For example, in Matthew 6, 5 and 7, the text that we're going to be looking at, listen to what Jesus says. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father. Do you notice two times he says this? And when you pray, and when you pray. It is expected that God expects his children to pray. He expects them to go to prayer. He expects them to call upon him. It is expected. Another reason is that it's commanded. We're told to pray. Listen to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Pretty clear, direct and simple. It says here very carefully, continue steadfastly. Some versions of the Bible say devote yourself to prayer. But it steadfastly indicates the idea of committed, being devoted to it. I am going to pray. Being watchful is another aspect. And this is the one that so much that we forget so much is the fact of being watchful is that we are attentive to our prayers. Have you ever stopped and thought about what you are praying? When you are praying, do you think about what you're saying? Or is it just words that kind of fall into place all the time? We pray the same thing. We say the same thing. And then we change it up a little bit when we have a list of needs before us that we may pray for this need or that need. But there is a pattern in our prayer that so often we fall into that we're not being attentive. And one of the things that I struggle with personally is to be attentive to the prayers of others. When we talk about praying with one another, the idea, and it's a priority, we have to pray and we're to pray with one another, but the idea is that we are attentive as well. We might say, in the time as we're paying attention, we might say, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, I desire for that person to come to full health. Or yes, Lord, I desire, while the other person is praying. But again, not only is it expected, it's commanded. Listen to this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our prayers are to be entered into with an attitude of joy and thanksgiving. That's quite convicting. Let me ask you, and again, I ask myself these same questions. When was the last time you entered into prayer with joy and thanksgiving? Where you actually said, I've got to pray, God has been so good to me. That's usually not the motivator for our prayer. Usually, Lord, I have this need. Lord, I have that need. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. That's so often our attitude. And here, we're to enter into prayer with thanksgiving, rejoicing, always praying, without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. Our prayers are to be entered into with a thanksgiving. And when was the last time we did that? Both text here, devote or continue steadfastly, and here, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Both texts are commands. They're in the imperative, which means they are commands from God. And what does that do to our excuses? What will we say in terms of excuses for not praying and making it a priority in our life? Would we say, I'm too busy? I mean, sometimes we say that. One commentator put it this way. If you say you're too busy to pray, maybe you should be saying it this way. I'm too busy not to pray. You understand? We so easily justify our lack of responsibility by not going to the Lord in prayer, not making it a priority. Or something like this, I don't feel like praying. That tells us something about our spiritual condition, doesn't it? I mean, if you love the Lord and you know he saved your soul and you want to be close to him, how can you say, I just don't feel like praying? How can you say that? You know, how do you feel wise when your husband says to you, I just don't feel like talking to you? Or vice versa. You know, I could say, I don't feel like, you know, again, we don't like that. You see, why? Because you're breaking the communication, or I don't have time for you. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ who's given his life for us. God the Father who's loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us. And we say, a little bit later, I'm kind of busy right now. Or, you know, I just don't feel like talking to you. Look, talk to me later, you know. These are the kinds of excuses. And I say it this way, and I know we don't come out and say it that way, but yet in our prayer life, we oftentimes practice that and make excuses. So not only is it expected, not only is it commanded, and I think Martin Luther said it well, he said this, as it is the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to make shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. To pray. There's one more thing why it should be a priority, and that is, and perhaps the most wonderful thing of all, is that it's encouraged by God. God saves our souls. And so he begins to gather around. He wants us to come and pray. Listen to the encouragements we have. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. God says, pray. I want you to pray for your enemies. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire then that in every place men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Again, an encouragement from God. In fact, in this 1 Timothy 2:8 passage, he is talking to the church. He is talking to the corporate body of believers. In 1 Timothy 3:15, I think he says, I'm writing these things so that you might know how to conduct yourself as a church, the pillar of truth. As you look at that, he's giving us instructions. I desire that men pray every place and pray lifting up holy hands. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach. And he will give it to him. 1 Peter 5:7. Wonderful passage. We quote it oftentimes. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And perhaps one of my favorite passages on prayer, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You understand what's going on here? God is saying, come to me. Come pray to me. Come worship me. Come and commune and talk with me. And what? Sometimes prayer is not a priority for us. And again, I don't want you to get the idea I'm talking all at you. I'm talking to myself as well. How much of a priority is prayer in my life? Do I make it a priority? It is expected of me to pray because I have a relationship with God. It is commanded because God is my Lord and Savior and reigns over me. And it's encouraged because it's not as though God says, you better pray, Al Graber. No, what's he say? Come to me. Come to the throne of grace so that you might communicate with me and find help and mercy in time of trouble. Why don't I pray more? These are questions that I have. When I pray, is it only for my needs? But this leads us to another thing. Not only is prayer a priority, but let me ask you a question. The purpose of prayer. If I were to say to you, and we took a survey here this morning, and I would say, all right, why do you pray? Think about it for a moment. I don't want anybody answering out loud, but just think for a moment. Why do I pray? Why is it that I get down on my knees? Or why is it that we open the service with prayer? Why is it that we do that? Why is it that we pray? You know, now, someone who's would say, well, it's expected of us. It's commanded and it's encouraged, but that's not what I'm looking for. They're all good answers. But the truth is, I think there are a number of answers that we need to think about when it talks about the purpose of prayer. And the first one is this, that it's communion with our Heavenly Father. It is the idea that we are together with our Heavenly Father as a result of our faith in Christ, that we are a child of God, and therefore the relationship we have with him is unique. And all relationships, if they're going to function, need to function through communication. So God communicates to us through his word and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, but then we communicate with him. And communication is necessary for growth. I mean, you cannot grow in a relationship with someone else without talking to them. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. You've got to get to know them. You've got to understand them. And here we are. When we go to prayer and we begin to stop and think, who are we praying to? We're praying to a sovereign God. Who are we praying to? We're praying to a God that loves us. Who are we praying to? We're praying to a God who has ordered the details of our life even to the time when we are called home with him. We are talking with him. And as we stop and begin to talk with him and begin to dwell with him, the relationship grows. And here's the advantage of communicating with God. He always knows what's best for us. He knows. He knows your heart better than you know it. He knows your life better than you know it. He knows all of these things. And he is always available. Always available. It's not like, oh, I can't talk right now. No, God is always available. We are known by God. And when we pray, he knows exactly how we feel. And our faults are there, and yet he still loves us. Think about this for a moment. That God knows exactly how I feel. And so someone says, what can I tell God? I can't tell him anything. He knows all. But then on the other hand, you say, what can I tell God? You could tell him everything because he knows you. You know, sometimes when we're very close to someone, we want to go and we just want to vent, dump on them, express our frustration to them. And we'll do that with a close friend. We'll do that with someone close to. But you understand that we're able to go to God, not in a complaining fashion, but in a reverent fashion, and just unload and just say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Lord, I don't get this. I don't get that. But one of the purposes of prayer is so that we might communicate with God and in that factor get to know him and have a closer relationship with him. It's an amazing thing. But we don't think that way when we go to prayer. We usually think, oh, here's a need, Lord. Please take care of this. Here's a need, Lord. Take care of that. When we go to prayer, we're not thinking necessarily of building relationship, but sometimes we just ask for requests. Let me give you another reason. Not only is it communication, but it creates intimacy with God. Genuine prayer is an intimate time in which we share our feelings and our ambitions, our doubts, our fears, and our joys with our Heavenly Father. It is a time of intimacy. We tell God things we would not tell anybody else. We confess things to God that we would not confess anywhere else. You see, the idea of prayer, I mean, when we go to prayer, do you think I'm going to have an intimate moment with God? We don't think that way. Here's the problem. When we go to prayer, it's usually in our minds. So I'm going to ask him for this. I'm going to ask him for that. Here is creating intimacy. Listen to the Lord Jesus in Luke 10:21. In that same hour, he rejoiced. This is referring to Christ. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. There is an intimacy where Jesus just burst out and thanks God the Father. Listen to John 12:27 as Jesus is praying to his Heavenly Father, and you can just sense the intimacy here. Now, this is Jesus, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Even in Jesus' darkest hour, the intimacy of the relationship is seen when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Intimacy is developed when we share our feelings and a willingness to pray in an appropriate manner. It is a wonderful blessing to come to the Lord and to open up our hearts. I don't think we do that enough. I think we go to the Lord and give him a list. It's like a grocery list. Lord, here's the list. And I'm not devaluing, you know, prayer list and prayer, writing down things to remember to pray for. But when we do that, sometimes we're not thinking about the intimacy. We're just thinking, let me get through this prayer list. Let me get through this prayer list. Let me get through these particular needs, and then we can start our class or we can start our time of worship. There is not this sense, I am coming before God and having an intimate conversation with him. And that's not what he calls upon us to do. I love that hymn, I must tell Jesus. Some of you may have remembered it. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus all my trials and all my troubles. See, that's intimacy. I've got to talk to Jesus about this. Why? Because he loves me. He knows me. He cares for me. There is to be this anticipation as when we go to prayer, there is this intimacy that is created. I must tell Jesus because he is the only one in the entire world that's going to understand me. And you know what's wonderful about this? If you go to Romans 8:26, even when you don't know how you ought to pray because you're in such a lost, confused state, you know what it says? The Holy Spirit makes groanings for us that cannot be uttered. You understand that God is saying, pray, my children, pray, my sons, pray, my daughters, pray, my beloved, pray, my loved ones, pray and talk to me. That's what's taking place. And we do not think of prayer that way. I'm sorry. Sometimes we just say, oh, I got to pray. It's time. Or, oh, I got to, you know, we got to open a prayer for this. And so when we talk about prayer, it creates intimacy. It is communication. But there's one more thing about prayer that is so important that we have a tendency to forget because we're so often focused as if prayer is all about us. It's all about me. And I understand why we think that way. But in genuine, when we pray, a purpose in our prayer is to glorify God. Each time we pray and go before the Lord, he is glorified. Why is that? Because we're expressing our dependence upon him. Like this morning in Sunday school, we were praying. We prayed for the needs of various people and what they're going through. We're saying, Lord, we can't do anything about this, but you can. Who's glorified in that? God is. That's our thought. We're glorifying God. We're looking to him. It is through our prayer life that we acknowledge God's sovereignty. We recognize our helplessness, that he alone is sovereign, and we express our complete reliance upon him. That's what takes place in our prayer life. We do not pray with the idea that it's bringing glory to God. What happens is, in our own human nature, we begin to focus upon ourselves and upon our needs and finding some solution to our misery or some solution to our difficulty. But how frequently do we pray to God's glory? How frequently do we stop and say, God, I have no place to turn but you. And here you are. You are before me, Lord. You have loved me. You have sent your son for me. Lord, you have done all of these things for me, and I just want to talk to you. I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I want to thank you for this trial because it has caused me to come to you. That's the idea. It's not all about us. Yes, we're the beneficiaries. Yes, we're getting the blessings. But understand this. It's not a time when we write a grocery list to God, say, Lord, please do this for me and this for me and this. No, that's part of it, sharing our needs. But a lot of it is to glorify God. And I think sometimes that is missing. That is missing. It's missing in our prayer life. And whether, you know, and we get this idea whether our prayers are answered or not, God is still glorified. And I say that because God answers every prayer. He just doesn't answer it the way we want to all the time. But understand this, that God does answer every prayer, and his answers are there to bring glory to him. Think for a moment of an answered prayer. I'll give you an illustration. Here's Hezekiah in Isaiah 38. He's getting ready. He's going to die. He knows it. It's been told to him by the prophet. Get your house in order, Hezekiah. You're going to die. Hezekiah doesn't want to die. He's not ready to die yet. So he goes before the Lord and says, Lord, I'm depending upon you. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And Lord, I'm trying to be obedient to your word. And so God says, okay. And he sends Isaiah the prophet back and says, you got 15 more years. Now God is glorified in that answered prayer. But listen to what God says to Hezekiah. And this is how he glorifies himself. He said, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer, Hezekiah. God, the sovereign God. I have seen your tears. It's not as though God's not involved in this. He says, I've seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city. Note, he says, I. The whole passage of Scripture brings glory to God. Why? Because he is the one who answers our prayer and he recognizes it. I'm going before you, Lord. And he answers the prayer that Hezekiah has prayed. Lord, let me live a little longer. But then, there are also times when prayers are not answered. Or at least the way we want to. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, Lord, take this thorn from my flesh. And all commentators agree it was a physical ailment. Here's the Apostle Paul traveling all over the world, sharing the gospel of Christ, being obedient to the Lord and all that, but he has this physical problem that's holding him back. And in his mind, I'm assuming this, but in his mind, he's thinking, if I could only get rid of this physical problem, I could be a better missionary. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could do all this. And so he says, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. God doesn't answer it. Doesn't do it. So what's he do? He goes to God again. Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. God doesn't do it. He doesn't remove it. A third time. And turn your Bibles there. I want to read the answer to you. Third time is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The third time he says, Lord, remove this from me. I'll begin reading at chapter 12, verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. In other words, Lord, take this thing out of my life. Heal me. But he said to me, and here's God's answer. It's not the one Paul prayed for. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul says, recognizes this. Paul's learned a great spiritual truth. Listen to what he says. Therefore, because God's grace is sufficient, because his power is made perfect in my weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You understand what he's saying? In my desperation, in my persecution, in my thorn in the flesh, I am weak. I'm desperate. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And so Paul says, the weaker I am, the stronger he is, because I'm carrying out his purposes. How often do we pray and we're not patient with the Lord? We're not patient with him, but we want an answer. As I said to the men's Bible study, he was, you know, the prayer is like this. Lord, please give me patience and give it to me now. That's the way we pray. We expect it. Hey, Lord, I've asked. Let's go. We don't do it that flippantly, but in our hearts, we think that way. You understand that we pray to God, it is to be a priority. There is a purpose in prayer to bring honor and glory to him. And then next week and the weeks following, we'll talk about the practice of prayer. But I just, this morning, wanted to make us think about prayer and our prayer life. How do I pray? Why do I go to the Lord in prayer? Is there thoughts of God or only of myself? It's very convicting. Let's pray together. Lord, it is such a vast subject in your word. It's a vast subject, Father, because you have given us so much instruction about it. And yet, in our weakness, in our sinfulness, Lord, sometimes just by our own ignorance, we don't come to you. We're not as attentive in our prayer as we should be. Lord, I ask this week that each of us would go before you in prayer so that we might communicate with you, that we might create an intimacy between ourselves. And Father, again, I would ask all that you would receive all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.